The scripture reading today is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. And this is about to the church in Philadelphia. We're recording, so I won't say this. But the word Phil in Philadelphia means love. It's the same as my name. Yes, Philos. I always like that. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Narihiro, would you please come on? I might stumble over a word here, so...
ヨハネの黙示録3章7節から13節まで日本語でお読みします。またフィラデルフィアにある教会の御使いに書き送れ。聖なる方、真実な方、ダビデの鍵を持っている方、彼が聞くと誰も閉じるものがなく、彼が閉じると誰も開くものがない。その方がこう言われる。私はあなたの行いを知っている。見よ、私は誰も閉じることのできないと閉じることのできない門をあなたの前に開いておいた。なぜならあなたには少しばかりの力があって、私の言葉を守り私の名を歪まなかったからである。見よ、サタンの改宗に属する者、すなわちユダヤ人だと自称しながら実はそうでなくて嘘を言っている者たちに私はこうする。見よ、彼らをあなたの足元に来てひれ伏させ、私があなたを愛していることを知らせる。あなたが私の忍耐について言った言葉を守ったから、私も地上に住む者たちを試みるために全世界に来ようとしている試練の時にはあなたを守ろう。私はすぐに来る。私の冠を誰にも奪われないようにあなたの持っているものをしっかりと持っていなさい。勝利得るものを私の神の聖書の、柱としよう。彼はもはや決して外に出ることはない。私は彼の上に私の神の港、私の神の都、すなわち私の神の元を出て天から下ってくる新しいエルサレムの名と私の新しい名とを書き記す。耳のある者は聖霊が諸教会に言われることを聞きなさい。
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for again just bringing us together to worship you. And we do pray, Lord, that you would just give us just a taste, Lord, of what it is to be face to face with you, Lord. As we sang, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And I pray, Father, that here on earth that we would have a taste of that, Lord. To just continue to encourage us, motivate us, and spur us on. We thank you again for this time. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence to minister to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That's good to see all of you. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Staying warm? How are you guys staying warm? It gets pretty cold these days now, doesn't it? No, just me? Okay, whatever. Well, we're going through the book of Revelation, and today we're at the church in Philadelphia. And again, we do this because we want to see just how the church, the first century church, how they succeeded, how they failed, and hopefully by their mistakes and by their victories, we at JCCT could be a church that glorifies and brings glory to His name. Amen?
Amen.
And so in the church of Philadelphia, it says this. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you guys to all turn there. To the church in Philadelphia, and of course, Phil already gave us the Greek for today, and so it's a church of brotherly love. It says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia writes, these are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. And again, I just want to talk about the revelation of Jesus. Jesus reveals Himself in this way to the church in Philadelphia. These are the words of Him who is holy and true. Again, I've mentioned this throughout our entire study of the church in Revelation, but one of the most important aspects of the church on earth is to reveal Jesus. And we must reveal Him accurately and continue to reveal Him to the world. If the church represents and reveals Jesus to the world, as Jesus Himself revealed Himself to the world, I believe there will be just a lot more salvations, a lot more blessings, a lot more transformation, a lot less sin on this earth. If the church reveals and represents Jesus well, I believe that's the power of just the revelation of who Jesus is. And so here it says, these are the words of Him who is holy and true. And I just want to again point out that holiness of God is more than the process of eliminating sins in our lives. For those of you who don't know, JCCT is part of the holiness denomination. Although we do not necessarily hold to a lot of holiness teaching. A lot of holiness teachings required no dancing. I think you had to wear skirts below your knees. What else? Well, no drinking, no smoking. I don't think you could watch movies. I don't know. let me just say this. Holiness is more than just a process of eliminating those things in our lives. Just because you don't dance, just because you wear skirts below your knees, just because you do X, Y, and Z, doesn't mean you're holy. Does that make sense? So you can live your entire life not stealing. You can live your entire life not committing adultery. You can live your entire life not murdering anyone. But in God's eyes, that doesn't mean you're holy. That's exactly what the Pharisees did, right? They lived a life of just minimalizing doing the wrong things in the eyes of people. And Jesus says strictly to them and strictly to us, your righteousness must surpass those of the Pharisees and scribes. And what does He mean by that? What does He mean by your righteousness might have to surpass that? Well, then He begins to teach, even if you're angry at someone, that is as the same as murder. Even if you look at a woman lustfully, that is the same as adultery. And what He was getting to the point was this. You could live your life and not do any bad things, but if your heart continues to want to steal, if your heart continues to want to murder, if your heart continues to want to do these things, and the only reason you're not doing those things is a fear of getting caught, that is not holiness. And Jesus says, these are the words of Him who is holy and true. And what holiness is the process in abiding with God. To be a holy person isn't the removal of vices and passions, but is someone who has fully surrendered and come alive in Jesus, and who sees from an eternal perspective and lives accordingly. And the byproduct of that is elimination of sin. Don't get me wrong. But it's also the elimination of desiring to sin. Not only do you not murder because you don't want to go to jail for in prison for life, you don't murder, you're not angry, and you don't have the desire to murder because Jesus has transformed your life. Not only do you stop lying because of fear of getting caught, but you don't lie because you're abiding in Christ. And Jesus has transformed your life. And so you're not lying because there's no desire to do that. And that is what it means when Jesus says, "These are the words who are holy and true." And I want to say truth. Truth is more than just facts. Truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Not just facts, but again, to abide in a person. Now, Satan will come with a lot of facts, won't he?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He'll come and say, "You're not worthy. You don't measure up. You just did this, that, and this." And those are facts. Yeah, you're right, Satan. I don't measure up. Maybe I'm not worthy. But the truth is, as long as you abide in Christ, what God sees isn't someone who doesn't measure up. But what God sees, if you're abiding in Jesus, is His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's good news. Those aren't facts. That's the truth. If you abide in the truth, if you abide in Jesus, the truth is, although you may not measure up factually, but by grace, you have been saved. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. I got an amen from Jerusalem here today. Toshio just came back from the Holy Land itself. Welcome back, Toshi. It's good to have you back. We're going to have to hear a report. Did you try walking on water? Just kidding. Okay. Anyway, let's get it. So that's who Jesus is. And let's reveal that to the world. Let's reveal the holiness isn't Ned Flanders. Holiness looks like Jesus. The fullness of Jesus. Holiness looks like someone who is living life and lives it to the fullest. What Jesus has promised. Jesus says this to the church in Philadelphia. "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my words and have not denied my name." Did I go? I missed one. Sorry. I thought I missed one. Okay. Excuse me. Let's go back. Jesus says, "He is the one who holds the key of David, and what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." Now, the key of David speaks of his authority and his coming reign. It is a key that talks about just his political reign on earth, his kingdom on earth. But do you know what the key to David's success was? Now, I'm not talking about the key of David, but do you know what the key to David's success was? Now, I know a lot of you know the story of David, right? Or at least parts of it. It's just, you don't have to be Christian to know the story of David and Goliath. If you look at that story, I think it shows us a key to David's success, and it's important for us that we know the key to his success. It will be the same key to your success. I'll turn there. You don't have to turn there. You could just listen, but it's in 1 Samuel 17. This is the story of David and Goliath. Starting from the whole chapter is relevant, but I'm just going to start with verse 45. David realizes there's this giant of a man fighting for the Philistine, defying the army of Israel. And David says to the Philistines, this is Goliath from verse 45, "You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Amen. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. The key to David's success wasn't in his ability to throw a rock. Do you guys know the rest of the story? The rest of the story goes, David gets rocks. Saul, the king of Israel at that time, tries to give David his armor, his sword, and his shield. And David said, I can't fight in these. And he just gets a couple of rocks, I believe 8 rocks. And he fights Goliath. And he says, I come against you in the name of the Lord. That is the key to David's success. Is a strong name of the Lord. And let me tell you, the key to your success will be trusting in that name. Trusting in that name. Jesus reveals to the church in Philadelphia that he is the key, that he holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. And let me just say this. There are doors that God closed in your life. Don't try to open it. If he closes some doors in your life, don't try to open it. But because he probably closed it for a good reason. And let me tell you this, that there are doors right now that are open in your life. And if you trust in his name, again, the key of David. David's key of success was trusting in his name. If you trust in his name, and if God opens a door for you, I just encourage you to be courageous and walk through it. Because a lot of times when God opens a door for you, it's probably a door you couldn't open on your own strength. And so it'll take a lot of courage to walk through that door. To give you an example from the Old Testament, the children of Israel was delivered supernaturally and miraculously out of Egypt. They wandered the wilderness for 40 days or 40 years. And after the 40 years, they came upon the Jordan River and was told to go and cross it into their promised land. It was a door that God opened for them. And the Israelites did something very, I guess, both wise and foolish. They went and sent scouts out into the promised land. And the scouts, they saw the promised land, and it was exactly as God described it. A land flowing with milk and honey. But God forgot to mention one detail. It was occupied by giants. And so when the scouts came back, I believe it was, how does the song go? 10 gave good reports and 10 gave bad reports and 2 gave good reports? Yep, okay, thank you. So when the scouts came back, the scouts said, you know, it's described just as God said it would be. But there are giants and they'll crush us. Joshua and Caleb said, God has given them into our hands. Let's go and take them right now. They listened to the 10, and none of the first generation Israelites got to enter into the promised land. Not even Moses. It was a door God opened for the Israelites. But they didn't walk through it because they trusted in their own strength rather than the strong name of the Lord. Now let me tell you, there are doors open in your life right now that will require you to trust in the strong name of the Lord. Amen. I'm just going to go off on a little tangent, if that's okay. You know, I believe the church today, at least the church in America, is being ravished by Satan. I hear some statistics like Tucson is one of the least church, or the lowest in attendance when it comes to church attendance on a Sunday. We cannot fight Satan with rocks. You know, we say, oh, well, didn't David slay Goliath with rocks? And we might think, oh, rocks are going to work. You know, it wasn't the rock that killed Goliath, right? What killed Goliath?
David's sword. The sword. Goliath's sword.
Okay. Well, that's accurate. That's very accurate. So Martin is a great storyteller. So what actually happened is David, I think the rock does kill Goliath. And then David takes Goliath's sword. Is there anyone under 13? Because this is actually getting rated R now. Okay, so this is not holiness teaching, because it's rated R. But David takes Goliath's sword and cuts off Goliath's head. If he's not dead by the rock, he's certainly dead by the sword. But it wasn't the rock that killed Goliath, nor the sword that killed Goliath, but I believe what killed Goliath was the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what empowered the rock. That's what empowered David. It is. And, you know, and he will use whatever is in your resources to accomplish his task. And if whatever you have are just rocks in your pockets and God says go, guess what? If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Amen. If God is for you, who can be against you? So if there are open doors before you that just seems impossible for you to accomplish with your own resources and talents and gifts and whatever, guess what? That's a door that God opened for you, and that's a door that will eventually bring glory to God through you, through little old you. And let me just say that the key of David talks about the political authority of Jesus that's going to reign on the earth. Everyone will want a king like Jesus. If we represent him well, people would want a king like Jesus. Jesus continues to, and talks and reveals to the church in Philadelphia, he says, I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. And let me just say this, that the Christian life is more than just words. But it is also a demonstration of his power. In John, 1 John 3:8, John says this, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus himself in John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And Paul himself, 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit's power. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now this church in Philadelphia had little strength, little dunamis, little power. And that's okay to an extent. Perhaps they had reason for little power. Maybe they didn't have right teaching. They were in a place of just persecution, they just didn't have the resources, the teachings. But for us here in the West, and just we literally have just an inexhaustible resources of God's Word, don't we? If you have internet access to the internet, you really have teachings that you could listen to probably for the rest of your life. Millions and millions of teaching just out there. I don't think we have an excuse, but the church in Philadelphia, Jesus says, you have little power, and I think that's a correction, that's a rebuke to the Philadelphian church. But then he encourages them. He says, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I'll talk about just Christianity and power in another sermon, but I just want to talk about today. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. see. Sorry. Oh, yeah. So this last translation here, we had a hard time translating. But keeping Jesus' word and not denying his name may require some spiritual judo. I don't know how it was translated. I can't read that. I can't read the Japanese. Sorry.
Spirit of judo.
Spirit of judo. But what I'm... spiritual judo. What do I mean by spiritual judo? Well, the church in Philadelphia, they obviously didn't have political power. They, if you read the entire section on the church of Philadelphia, they were persecuted. And it was probably a situation where if you were a Christian, they would persecute you, right? And so they had to find a way to stay Christian and not deny his name without being killed. That's a tough thing sometimes, right? I mean, there have been many accounts of just people placed in a situation whether you either deny Jesus' name or you go to prison. Or you either deny Jesus' name or you get your head cut off. Or you either deny Jesus' name or we're going to kill your family. Now, this is serious stuff. Now, it's not like us here in America, right? Like people here in America, it doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not. There are parts of the world, though, if you are Christian, and throughout history, if you are Christian and if you didn't deny his name, then terrible things could happen to you. And so what do I mean by spiritual judo? It just means being very, more than this, but being tactful. But also, Jesus' teaching of blessing those who curse you. Jesus' teaching on turning the other cheek. Jesus' teaching on if someone steals from you, give them your cloak also. Jesus, throughout his ministry, practiced what I would call spiritual judo. Dallas Willard, if you know of him, a great philosopher, Christian man, taught at USC. He's passed away now, but he called it spiritual jujitsu. I took it up a notch. For those of you who know martial arts, know that judo came out of jujitsu, right? No? Okay. Hiro is probably one of them. Anyways, I'm not going to... We could talk later. Anyways, but spiritual judo, what do I mean by this is, I was reading a book, Wounded Tiger, written by our very own Martin here. If you want to know more about that, come and talk to Martin. But there was, in one of the scenes... This book takes place in during World War II, and so there was a scene where the president of a Christian school was stopped by, and this is in Japan, was stopped by one of the I guess emperor's military, and asked, "Who is greater, Jesus or the emperor?" Now you gotta understand, if you say Jesus in that point, you probably will be thrown in prison or something else. Lose your job, you lose your position, and just lose a lot of things in your life. So he asked him, who is greater, Jesus or the emperor? And he simply answered him, you can't compare the two. And he asked, which is greater, white or silence? I mean, you can't really say, oh, white is greater than silence, just because they're not in the same category. And the man was able to leave without getting in trouble. Now, several times that happened to Jesus as well, didn't it? Jesus is sitting there, and they asked him, Jesus, is it right to pay taxes? And what did he say? Well, give me one of the coins. What's on the face of the coin? Caesar. Well, give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to God what is God. There was another time where Jesus was placed in a sticky situation where they brought a woman caught in adultery, and they said to Jesus, Moses' law commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say? And Jesus simply answers, let the first who have sinned cast the first stone. Let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. Now let me tell you, how are you with spiritual judo? How are you when you're placed in a very difficult situation? Now, I'm not talking about in a situation where they say, you know, do you believe in Jesus? No. What happens when somebody does something to you that really offends you? What's our human nature tell us to do? Strike back, right? And if you're a lawyer, strike back twice as hard. That's how lawyers operate. But what about you? If we follow Jesus and we practice his teaching, do you know what he tells us to do? Bless those that curse you. Forgive those who have sinned against you. If someone tries to take a cloak, give him your other tunic. Now, he's not saying let them walk all over you. Of course, Jesus did not let people walk all over him. But he was teaching spiritual judo or jiu-jitsu. But a life that just is so separate, set apart, otherworldly than how this world works. Now, it's not going to be overnight. I just learned about spiritual judo. Let me practice it. Because let me tell you, and Mark knows, because Mark used to be a black belt judo, right? Judo-kun. You're not going to throw someone your first try. But it's about becoming more and more like him. Abiding in Christ. Learning to bless those that curse you. So that one day you're going to be placed in a very difficult situation and you'll be surprised at what comes out of your mouth. It'll be just as powerful as Jesus saying, let he who has sinned, who has no sin, cast the first stone. And people will be blown away and be like, what? Where did he get that teaching? Spiritual judo in another real life example. I think I shared this, but there was a woman who was living with a man who was abusive towards her. And the woman just shared with the pastor, I can't get out of this relationship. I just love him too much, even though he's abusive. And the pastor just simply said to her, well, do you have a secret account that your boyfriend doesn't know about? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, how much is in that account? And she's like, about $10,000 or something like that. And he said to the woman, well, why don't you give that $10,000, withdraw it from your secret account, and give it to your boyfriend? And she said, that is the stupidest advice I've ever heard. And the pastor simply said, well, you're giving your life and yourself to him, which is way more than $10,000. And right there immediately, she realized that, wow, being with this guy is really not worth it. The more you abide in Christ, the greater you will be in spiritual judo. Anyway, let's move on. It says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole earth to test the inhabitants of the earth. And let me just say, there will be an hour of trial that will come upon the entire world. And if you're interested in that, just continue to read the book of Revelation. It'll talk about the hour of trial. But each and every one of us will go through certain trials. And let me just say, trials are stepping stones to glory. And although trials are unpleasant, let me tell you, they will define your life. Trials will define your life, whether good or bad. Depending how you respond to trial, it will define your life. We will all go through trials, and how you respond to them will distinctly shape who you are in the sight of others, but more importantly, in the sight of God. Amen. I don't know what trials you guys are going through. Financial trials, family trials, relational trials, school, work. But trials will hit you in every aspect of your life. Probably the most important aspect of your life, it'll hit you. And how you respond to that will define you. And the key of David, and David's key is this: trust in the name of the Lord. Abide in Him. Learn spiritual judos, so that in your trials, you could use whoever is antagonizing you, whoever is pushing you, you could use their aggression against them. Just to give you, I really don't know a lot about judo or jiu-jitsu, but you know, that martial, that form, that practice of martial arts is so that even if you're weaker, you'll be able to beat your opponent. Even if you're physically weaker, you'll be able to beat your opponent. Spiritual judo is the same thing. Even if you're placed in a position lower than the person that's coming after you, if you learn spiritual judo, you'll be able to flip the situation. Anyways, let me just finish with this. Jesus says, "I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God." Let me just say, Jesus is coming soon. In the meantime, don't let the devil take your crown. He wants nothing less than to see you fail. Don't let him take your crown. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us. We call you Lord, we call you Master, and that is what you are. You amazingly disarmed all the powers of hell through your simple sacrifice, Jesus, or through your great sacrifice, Jesus. Father, help us as a church and individually do the same, to continue your works here, Lord, disarming the power of evil here in our lives, in our cities, in this world, Lord. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.